I try to get access to that product or get an example of it or a prototype if it's something new or beta access or whatever it might be. I want to experience it. I want to use it because here's the other thing. If somebody sees me recommend a product and they go, hey, so have you used that before? And then I go, well, actually, no. Well, they're out the door now. It's so much easier when you go, yeah, I totally use it. And by the way, here's how I'd recommend you use it too. It's like, wow, you're providing value at the same time. And it just really shows, especially for people who ask you questions. One of my favorite tactics is to have as many people ask questions about the product that I'm promoting.
Boom, boom, tsh, boom, boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Check it. Okay, we're on.
We are on.
This thing's on.
So this is an interesting episode. This is a two-parter.
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid episode. So we recently did a 3-hour live stream on Facebook where we did back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back interviews on affiliate marketing, and we brought on different guests. We had, you know, we had Larry Ludwig, we had Pat Flynn, we had Mike Long, we had James Schramko, we had Steven Sketsis, and then you and I sort of gave some of our tips around affiliate marketing. But one of the interviews that we did throughout the day was with Pat Flynn, like I just mentioned, and it was really, really like good stuff. And Pat is probably the most aligned with the way he does affiliate marketing with us, right? The way he teaches affiliate marketing and what he does for affiliate marketing is pretty much the exact same concepts that we do for affiliate marketing. So we wanted to make sure we shared this interview and got it out to like a wider audience than, you know, more people than just saw us doing the live stream, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the first part of this. That's like the first 30 minutes of this session here. And then Joe and I wanted to also sort of tack on to it what's working now for us in affiliate marketing. So the second 30 minutes of this interview is after Pat Flynn is done kind of explaining what he does, Joe and I have a little bit of a discussion ourselves about here's what's really cool that's working right now in our business in affiliate marketing. So it's a full-on affiliate marketing episode with 50% of it Pat Flynn strategies, 50% of it our strategies, but what you're going to find is that there's a lot of overlap in those strategies.
Yes, it's going to be a good mixture. So, it's a little different, but yeah, and we recorded the outro of this, like a week or two after?
Yeah.
So, might be fuzzy on some of the exact terms that Pat said, but you'll probably be sure to correct us because you'll be fresher in the mind. But yeah. You'll hear the concepts and how they overlap. They're really interesting. I think that's about it.
Yeah, we got notes.
We got the notes, so I will talk about the notes. These notes will be...
These notes
might be longer than normal. These notes, I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of strategies packed in this one, especially with, well, I mean, both of us, but like Pat.
Yeah.
That was like 30 minutes, but it's like, bam, 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 bam. Yeah. So, yeah, get the notes. They're going to be great. Hustleandflowchart.com/comp, hustleandflowchart.com/comp. Got to go there within 2 weeks of this episode going live. Whenever it goes live, after that, it goes into our vault. I'm about to sneeze, so I'm going to talk a little. I'm trying to shake it off.
Or you can text the word comp while Joe sneezes to 38470. So that's 38470. Text the word comp. You can get the notes that way.
Perfect. We're not supposed to sneeze anyway because we're together in this lockdown-ish type thing.
Yeah, we're in the same location, but we're 6 feet apart. We're social distanced. We're social distanced.
Yes. So get the notes. Yeah. 38470 comp, hustleandflowchart.com/comp.
And Ahrefs. Yes.
So Ahrefs. Woo, buddy. There's a lot in Ahrefs. I always forget what's in there. But yeah, we've talked about so many strategies and like what we talked. Actually, did we talk about Ahrefs with Pat? I don't think so. Maybe.
It may have came up. I think he may have mentioned it as like one of the tools that he uses. He
might have.
But
I'm pretty sure he's a fan because that guy does a lot of content marketing. Yeah. I'm not going to say he's endorsing this. Obviously, can't say that. Yeah. But we're endorsing Ahrefs. Yes. So, yeah, I would say
they are a sponsor, but we also used it long before they were a sponsor.
Totally. Yeah. So I would say, I mean, if you're applying Ahrefs to affiliate marketing and listening to Pat's episode that's coming up here and what we're talking about, just think about the different ways you could demonstrate a product with content.
Yeah.
And like we talked about some strategies. We have a KST method. Pat has another one that is like the brain free or hurt headache free way.
Yes.
That's what it is.
The brain hurty free way.
Yeah. Well, what's that term? Mm-hmm. Headache free. That's right. So, and the way is you basically demonstrate different things out there. And we basically start by using Ahrefs for our keyword research and seeing what the competition looks like on both Google and YouTube and other places.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives us kind of like a roadmap of what to create content-wise.
Well, we also do, a lot of content marketing around affiliate products where we write articles related to these affiliate products. One of the great ways to do that is to use Ahrefs, see what other content is ranking about these various tools that we promote, and then make similar but better content, right? So if somebody's making a tutorial on let's say Ahrefs, and we want to outrank them for a similar concept, I'll see what kind of keywords they're ranking for that tutorial, and then make sure I'm writing a better tutorial around Ahrefs for that thing, if that makes sense.
Totally.
So it's an amazing tool. We use it. We're in there. I mean, I know I'm in there almost every day. Joe's in there checking on stuff all the time too. Seeing where we're ranking, and it's an amazing SEO tool. We love it. We can't say enough about it. And they have a $7 7-day trial. So that's $1 a day. You could get it and start using it and see how you like it and probably stick with it because you're going to like it. And it's at ahrefs.com. Ahrefs.com.
That's it. $7, 7-day trial. Go get it.
Let's go talk to Pat Flynn. How's it going, man?
It's going well. How about you guys?
Great, man. Just warming up this live stream here. So I appreciate you taking the time, man.
And, my pleasure. What's up, everybody? Good to see you.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of people asking questions. So if you have questions for Pat, definitely throw them in the chat like we've been saying. And let's kick it off, man. We were kind of telling him about you. Matt was saying how he's, you know, we all kind of started around the same time, at least in the online space. And Matt was talking about how I think he was the first of the two of us to really attach to, I think it was the podcast.
Yeah, I think we started listening to the podcast around the beginning of when it started and followed along. And I passed your podcast over to Joe in the early days of it. And that sort of inspired us to launch our own podcast back around 2010. So been in the podcasting game ever since. And it was definitely kicked off through listening through your show. So
that's awesome. Thank you for that. Yeah, podcasting, you know, we got in early, which is good, but it's still early, in my opinion. I'm really bullish on podcasting right now, especially for relationship building. There's still less than 1 million podcasts versus, you know, 500 million blogs, you know, 45 million YouTube channels or whatever. Still a lot of opportunity in that for sure. But I will say, nobody's commuting anymore. So listening, or not as many people are listening. And that's why YouTube has been very interesting, and live streaming. And I've been doing that every day too. And that's been a lot of fun.
These live streams that we're doing has sort of been our way to kind of lean into that as well. We have seen a decrease in audio listens, but we're seeing an increase of people showing up to these kinds of things. So that's we've been seeing the same thing. What were you about to say, Joe?
Yeah, I wanted to get into, because you have an interesting background where you started right around same kind of weird environment, you know, economic environment. I know that's what you're telling me through some emails too. I kind of want to hear just a short story of how you kind of transitioned into the online space in kind of similar times, obviously different.
Yeah, similar times for different reasons. And I'm talking about 2008, and I was in the architecture world, wanted to do that for the rest of my life. June 17, 2008. My boss calls me into his office and essentially told me I was going to be let go. I didn't have a plan B because I was doing everything I thought I was supposed to do, following the American dream, et cetera. And I got kicked out. And it was a hard time. I spent about a month and a half just sort of laying in bed, crying, just not wanting to, not having any energy to do anything. But it wasn't until I shifted that story in my head from, you know, why me to, well, why not me? Why can't I create something new? I'm focusing so much on the stuff I can't control right now. Why don't I focus on the things I can control? And a big question that I'm asking a lot of my students right now is, well, what does this make possible? And I think if you consider and like keep your headspace in, what does this make possible? What can you lean into? What's that project that you always wanted to start that you can now start? Then that's where really amazing things and opportunities can come out of this for you. So I built a website helping people pass an architectural exam because that was the thing that was on my mind and something I knew people would need help with. And a lot of people have heard the story before and they think that I popped it up there on the web and then Google found it. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm rich and famous. That's definitely not how it happened. In fact, it happened relatively quickly. In about 6 months, I started making money from that website. However, I was spending 10, 14 hours a day in forums, posting my notes on that website. And Google eventually saw it as the authority. And I started to get linked to from forums in architecture businesses and all that kind of stuff. So I started to be seen as an expert. And then in October 2008, I launched an ebook, a study guide for $19, and that blew up. It absolutely exploded. I made in October of 2008, $7,908.55. And what was really interesting is then I then added an audiobook to go along with that. And then the income started to get into the lower five-figure range. And then what really sealed the deal was actually related to affiliate marketing, which I know we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. In fact, it didn't take too long for an affiliate deal that I saw for an exam simulator. It was like an online-based exam simulator for $80, and I would get $22 commission. In fact, I was actually advertising for this business before I switched to the affiliate marketing model, making about $250 a month. Just $250 for like a 150 by 150 pixel banner ad. You know, those were really, really popular back in the day. Yep. And I made, I think, $6,000 that first month. I started doing affiliate marketing for them. And then eventually that overtook what my own products were making. The commissions were overtaking. And that's why affiliate marketing has been very big for me ever since then. I started smartpassiveincome.com back in really late 2008, because a lot of people were struggling and they needed help. And I was like, I just landed on this. Let me share everything I've learned and things I wish I did differently. And then, of course, SPI, Smart Passive Income, has turned into so much more. A podcast with over 60 million downloads, a YouTube channel with 250,000 subscribers, speaking around the world, which isn't happening right now. So I appreciate you inviting me on virtually, selling books, all this crazy stuff. And I'm just here to serve because, and truly, I feel affiliate marketing is still a huge underserved opportunity for people if you do it right.
Yeah, totally agree. So this was actually one of the questions we were going to ask anyway, but somebody asked it in the chat, so I'm going to pull it up onto the screen. Actually, I was going to ask this one first here. Anthony was asking, if you were starting a new site today from scratch, what would you focus on doing for the first 90 days?
So I would spend probably the first 30 days, the first month, just deep in customer research. So selecting a niche that I might have an interest in. That interest in a niche is really important. I've tried starting businesses in spaces where I literally have no connection to it. It was just like an income play. And honestly, all of those have burned out. Some sort of seed from me is really important because that keeps me going, especially when times are tough or it's just not working out. Whenever we start something, it's really fun and there's that honeymoon period. But eventually, and this is everybody, they hit a wall. So it's that interest and excitement to figure it out that gets you over that wall and keeps you going. And in those first 30 days, I would select a niche market. And I would do a deep dive into who's in that space already, what is serving that audience, what is missing, find out sort of the positioning that I could come in with. Perhaps it might relate to specifically a product that can help serve that audience and how to become essentially the go-to resource for that product. If I was going to start with affiliate marketing, how can I provide so much value showing people how to use this product? And then in addition to that, how might I do this for free? And meaning, like, let's take, for example, a keyword research tool. You know, there's a lot of keyword research tools out there that you can be an affiliate for. Software, I would probably start with software, in fact, because the higher commissions, you know, affiliate marketing, especially in the world of Amazon recently has gotten slashed. So I would start with a software product that I could master and get to know and almost become sort of a representative of that company. And then oftentimes they have recurring commissions too. So you could start to stack every single month. You know, there's recurring commissions that come in. But I would go in there and create demo videos. I would show it off. I would show people how easy it is to use. I might even target a specific niche, like a niche in a niche. So not just entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs who are authors, for example. And I might find a software that authors specifically use, like Scrivener or something. And in fact, there's a guy, his name's Joe, who created a website called Learn Scrivener or the Scrivener Master. I can't remember exactly. But his whole business started as an affiliate for that product. And he's become known as an expert now. And has even partnered with the company in really interesting ways too, which is really cool. So that's where I would start. But when I was saying I'd offer the free way to do it, meaning keyword research, right? There's ways to do it for free, but it takes like hours. But I would share that. I would give it all away for free. Here's how you can do it for free for 3 or 4 hours. And there you go. You have your end results, the keywords that you want. Or you can do all of that in 10 seconds using this product. Yeah. So I call that the free way to do it or the headache-free way to do it. And so, you know, that juxtaposition allows for people to go, oh yeah, that's definitely worth my money. Thank you so much for providing this value. I'll click on your link, commission, boom.
Yep. That's brilliant, man. And you hit on a bunch of stuff that has already been talked about previous to you showing up. So I love, like, whenever there's like a thematic thing going on, which is, you know, go down the route that something you're passionate with. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is probably the easiest thing with affiliate marketing is people, so many offers out there. Just go to sharesale.com and just pick up. Like, no. Don't do that. Talk about like how you look at a product, you know, so a new thing that you might get behind as a brand with content. What's your filtering process for that or discovery? Yeah.
I definitely need a filtering process, especially now as the grant, as the brand has continued to grow, like literally 5 or 6 messages a day from different companies wanting to get in front of me. So I have to put a filter on, or else something will happen that has happened with other people that I used to follow that I don't follow anymore. And that's, they just shove all the products that come their way down your throat and it doesn't feel good. It's obvious they don't care. It's obvious they're just trying to make money. And that's the last thing I want to do. I want people to, when I share a product with them, to go, oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing this with me. My life is so much easier. How can I pay you back in return? Thank you. Like, I want to thank you. So it's almost like a win for everybody, right? Like, I can imagine, and that's the first filter. Like, can I imagine sharing this with my audience and getting thanked for it? Regardless of the commission. The commission is almost like a bonus on top of the idea of helping people, which does mean, in fact, sometimes I promote things that don't have an affiliate commission because it's always in service of others in the audience, which is really key. Another filtering process is I try to get access to that product or get an example of it or a prototype if it's something new, or beta access or whatever it might be. I want to experience it. I want to use it, because here's the other thing. If somebody sees me recommend a product and they go, hey, so have you used that before? And then I go, well, actually, no. Well, they're out the door now. It's so much easier when you go, yeah, I totally use it. And by the way, here's how I'd recommend you use it too. It's like, wow, you're providing value at the same time. And it just really shows, especially for people who ask you questions. One of my favorite tactics is to have as many people ask questions about the product that I'm promoting. A lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to converse. They don't want to chat with anybody. I'm like, that's the wrong way to think about it. Because if a person is asking questions, they're likely somewhat interested. And if you can answer in a way that sort of tackles all their objections, well, then you've kind of got them. You've given them value. And then you can just offer up an affiliate link, being, you know, fully disclosed about that. And it'll be a win for everybody. Like I said, a win for you because you're getting a commission, a win for your audience member because they are getting something that they very much needed, and a win for the company that you're helping to promote. And yep. Then I also try to see, and this isn't always possible, but might there be a way for me to partner with this company? One of the things that I teach my students in my affiliate marketing course is it's not just about the relationship between you and your audience. It's about the relationship of you and the owner of that product, because you could potentially get special access or special deals or early looks or something. And this is why, I don't know if you know who MKBHD is on Twitter, YouTube. He's a big tech reviewer. He gets everything early because he does really amazing reviews about these things. And you can have early access to things too. And then of course, you create a video about it. You're the first one to show up. You're going to rank higher in SEO on YouTube and Google. And now everybody's finding you when they're looking for information about this. They see a really thorough review and they're going to click on your link too. So that's sort of the formula that I use.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think, you're sort of mirroring a lot of the philosophies that we've had around affiliate marketing. And I think anytime we've ever talked about affiliate marketing, it's hard for us to talk about it and not talk about the relationships with the product creators as well. Everybody focuses on the relationship with their audience and the people they're trying to promote too, but they never actually talk about, like, it's just as important to have a relationship with those audiences as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do have quite a bit of questions, Florida.
Yeah.
I'll pull this one up. I like this one a lot. So Michelle asked, what were the 2 best audience building techniques that led to your greatest amount of brand awareness and exposure? If you can think of 2.
Yeah. I mean, I could think of hundreds, but the top 2 might likely be guest podcasting. Podcasts are huge for getting people to know you and the voice that you have, and whether it means you being on other people's shows for more exposure and new audiences, or having, for example, I love using this strategy, not necessarily for exposure, but specifically to grow my affiliate income. For example, I interviewed Nathan Berry, the founder of ConvertKit. I'm a big affiliate for ConvertKit. In fact, I'm also an advisor for the company. And I invited him on my show. And I didn't invite him on the show to ask questions like, tell me why ConvertKit's awesome. Why should everybody convert to ConvertKit? It was more, tell me the story about why this exists. What were the struggles? What were the objections? What's your mission here? And of course, after 45 minutes, people listen to that. They get a really amazing bootstrapping story that's really inspiring. But at the same time, if they need to make a selection and they have a choice of different email service providers, who do you think they're going to go with now? A person that they've now listened to who they can fully understand because you've developed this amazing show that asks the right questions and gets you to know them a little bit better. And that particular episode has accounted for over $50,000 in income. It's recurring income because it's a software email service provider. But that one episode alone, inviting him on, not even talking about ConvertKit and why they should go there, but just the story behind it and bringing the founder on to build that relationship has been absolutely key. And then Seth Godin recently said that podcasting is the new blogging. So if podcasting is the new blogging, guest podcasting is the new guest blogging. And guest podcasting is absolutely huge. And it's very evergreen too. So you can get continual exposure. And the other thing that's worked really well for me are, and this relates to affiliate marketing as well, is YouTube, and specifically doing demo videos. That's like my secret sauce for a lot of my top performing affiliate offers, is literally, like I said earlier, showing people the insides of the thing that they are interested in buying and taking advantage of the free traffic that SEO can give you on YouTube. Should you create a really good looking video that people can watch for longer than the others? I love the demo video is the biggest secret. It's not as easy as just like writing a blog post and sharing images, but a demo video where here's why it's awesome. It's like, here's all you need to know about it. Here's what's good. Here's what's bad. It's a very honest approach. And as a result, you can get traffic and you can get more exposure and you can get affiliate income at the same time.
Yeah, I love that. Another thing that's sort of worked well for us along those same lines too is like, here's a cool tactic that you can do with this tool that most people don't know. We'll make like a video and sort of show off, hey, here's something that you can do with this tool that most people don't realize you can do with this tool. You put that video out there. Anybody that already has the tool is like, oh, cool, this is amazing value. Anybody who doesn't have the tool watches that video and goes, I should get this tool because I want to try it. You know? So
yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Very cool. So Joe Kalis, he asked a question that is near and dear to my heart because I know Joe and I struggle with this. As an entrepreneur, how do you maintain focus of the same thing for so long, especially being in the business of interviewing other creative entrepreneurs?
Good question.
You know, really what it comes down to, what keeps me going, is knowing that my audience is there listening on the other end and that they continually need me to show up. If I don't show up, if I let the fear get in the way, if I let boredom get in the way, well, then their lives will suffer as a result. And whether that's directly true or indirectly, I truly believe that. And I think that's important for you to internalize the fact that there are other people on the other end. In fact, we're not doing this for us. We're doing it for other people. Mm-hmm. And it is a byproduct your earnings become. And so that's really what it comes down to. For me, I do a number of things. Number one, going live with my audience and just asking questions keeps me directly in connection with them, which is really important to me. Plus, you know, the conversations I have with people via email. I use my email not just as a broadcasting tool, but as a conversation tool as well. And that's worked really well to help me understand what the biggest problems and pains of my target audience is. And that has helped me understand what to create content about, who to interview, what books to write, what courses to create, all coming from the people who are asking for help, knowing that if I can provide something of value, I might get in exchange, you know, maybe some money as a result of that, or maybe not. But at least a share, at least a mention, at least something like that always comes in return. The other thing that I have here, and I don't know if you can see this here, but I have a board over here on my right side that is full of thank you notes. These are thank you notes from my audience. 99% of them mention the podcast, by the way, which is really interesting. But whenever I feel bored, I'm like, I don't want to do this today. I just look at the board and I'm like, hey, those are the people that I need to do this for. That's almost my barometer for success, is how many thank you letters can I get? And interestingly enough, because I was in the position that a lot of my audience was in once before, I can totally empathize and relate. So it's like, you know, Jenny from the block, I got to remember where I came from to fully empathize with who my audience is. And then finally, and this is the biggest piece, a strategy that I'd recommend all of you do at least once a month, I try to get on a phone conversation, usually Zoom or Skype, in fact, with a brand new email subscriber every month, 10 times. So 10 Skype or Zoom calls with 10 brand new subscribers, so I can have a connection to them, so I can understand what they might need help with. It's also a beautiful sort of arena for me to test things. For example, I might say, hey, we're thinking of running these little traffic building workshops. Is that something that, you know, is of interest to you? Like, tell me what your gut reaction is to that. And I can already get feedback and validation for things that I've been thinking of working on. But most of all, I can go, well, tell me what is stopping you from moving forward right now, so that I can address that, so that I can publicly share, not them specifically, but just address the whole audience who likely has the same objections. And truly, some of those conversations are absolute gold and have completely changed the course of the entire business. So direct conversations with your audience goes a long way.
That's so cool, man. And maybe Matt, as you're pulling something up, you can elaborate, because you said conversation tools and mechanisms you use. We do a lot of stuff as well, like Loom, chat, a little window in the corner where you can answer questions around affiliate products, because we've been told that as well. We're like, wait, you're actually answering questions personally with affiliate products. Like, it blows people's minds. Mm-hmm. So Loom videos personalized. What are some other tools that you use around affiliate marketing, or maybe just conversations, you know, with your audience?
Yeah, I mean, tools that I use,
or maybe not tools, strategies as well. It could be kind of a combo.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch. I mean, one of the top performing pages on my website is a resource page, literally a sort of expertly curated library of things that my audience should know about, right? And this is of benefit to them because there's so much noise out there. I have all the good things in one spot, and 99% of them are things that I'm an affiliate for. So it actually works, again, both ways. Hey, Pat, thanks for sort of finding all the good stuff out there for me and putting it all on one page. If I mention a product, for example, in a review post or in a video, I'll say, by the way, check out our other resources on this resource page too. And I love it because it's not very aggressive. It's like literally there to help them. But at the same time, as a byproduct, I also get paid back in return for anybody who goes through that. And our resource page is sort of divided by different sort of categories to make it a little bit easier. I also know that there are some people who are students of mine who, for example, one of them teaches people how to hike. And they teach all kinds of people, people who do day hikes and people who do like the 6-month hike on the sort of west coast of the United States kind of hike, right? So all kinds. One resource page for all of them might be a little bit too big or too overwhelming, and there's stuff on there that they don't need because it depends on your specialty. So within your niche itself, you might benefit from a specialty resource page. Hey, this is the day hikers resource page. All the things you need to know that you need to have before you go on your first hike or something like that. And then there's a completely different resource page specifically for the people who are doing the 6-month hike. And it's because it's different products. It's a different experience. It's a different language. Right. And so when a person goes there and they see that, oh, that's for me, well, they're going to likely get all the stuff. A good friend of mine, Thomas Frank, who also has a YouTube channel here, he has a website called collegeinfogeek.com, and he teaches college kids how to do well in college. And there's a very popular page on his website called the College Packing Checklist. In fact, if you look up College Packing Checklist on Google, it's usually result number 1, 2, or 3. So he's getting all this organic traffic. But this is a specialty niche within his space of just college students in general, brand new college students. And of course, there's a checklist in there. There's like hundreds of items that people should get when they go to college. And, you know, imagine a mom printing out that checklist and wanting to check off every item before their kid goes to college. Guess what? There's a whole bunch of affiliate links on that page for all of those same products too. So it's like a perfect fit. Another strategy that I like to use is instead of a list of things people should have, and of course, within that list, putting affiliate offers and things that make sense. Instead, I'll reframe it to an audit. So for example, I did a post a while back that was, email marketing checklist. Are you doing these 10 things to grow and succeed with your email list? So immediately the subject line is like, oh, what are these 10 things? Am I doing all of them? Am I doing none of them? Like, where am I? And then the positioning is, well, you know, go through this and tell me your grade in the comments or something like that. And so I'll go through, and the first few in the audit are easy things like, number one, make sure you have an email service provider. Check. Okay. Yeah, that one is easy. Number two, make sure you're using people's names. Okay, cool. Check. Number three, make sure you don't put too many images in your emails. Okay, cool. Check. They're going through and they're like, okay, I'm feeling good. And then around number 6 or 7, this is where you start to inject the things that they probably don't have that relate to the product that you're promoting. For example, in that checklist, I'll go, okay, number 6. You want to make sure that you're segmenting your audience as they come in so that you know what buckets they involve, they're involved in, and you can send specialized messages depending on the sub niches in your space. If you're not doing this, here's a tool that I would recommend to make it easy for you. Here's a demo video showing you exactly how to segment your audience using ConvertKit. And if you'd like to also listen to an interview with the founder, Nathan Barry, click here to listen to that podcast too. So it's not just like a list, it's information. And psychologically, what happens is if a person doesn't fill out all the things on the list, they're going to want to fill out all the things on the list. We humans just hate when we leave something unchecked, right? So you can share the benefit and you can show the tool to go with it. They're likely to follow through and actually take action on that. And that's sort of a medium to advanced strategy that I like to offer people.
That's amazing. Thank you. That was loaded with strategies. I hope someone got something from that and take it and run. Matt, do you have another question? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So Larry, who was our last guest on the live stream just a minute ago, he was asking, do you do anything to increase lifetime value of customers of your courses with affiliate links?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if it makes sense to include affiliate links in your courses, I would highly recommend doing it. I mean, it kind of just makes sense. Why not? For example, my podcasting course has a ton of affiliate links for the microphones that I recommend. And I think that that's mentally okay to do because we are being the expert curator. And in exchange for curating all this information, yes, they've paid for the course to get the information, but we've also shown them the right products to go and get involved with too. I always share it as optional. I hate when I'm like, in order to succeed in this course, you have to go through this affiliate link. I don't position it like that, but I share it up there and I say, you know, hey, thanks. This helps pay for the team to help ensure that, you know, you're still being taken care of down the road. And I think that's important. I also think a thing to do is make sure that your students are, you know, getting taken care of and making their way through the course too. I do a lot of work with Teachable, who I'm an affiliate for and an advisor for as well. In fact, that's a really cool story because at first I was an affiliate and I loved the company so much. We started working together and they asked me to come on as an advisor, which is really cool. And that's happened a few times now, starting with affiliate and then becoming an advisor to the company, actually owning a share of the company. And then just recently Teachable had been acquired, which was like super cool. And that was the first time that happened. Like, that's pretty amazing. And that happened because of the affiliate relationship and this partnership that we had together, which was really cool. But you know, so anyway, Teachable works really hard to make sure the students have a great experience in there. I do this as well. I use email and tracking people's course completion rates and all that sort of stuff so that they can see that they are being taken care of. So any affiliate links that are injected in the course aren't like a cash grab. It's more just like, oh yeah, I might as well. Pat's been super helpful all along the way. And of course, then feeding them their next steps after that. Hey, okay, cool. You have gone through this course. You now understand how to build your website. Might I suggest how you can start your email list? Here's ConvertKit and here's an affiliate link for that too. So it might not be necessarily within the course where an affiliate offer could live. It could be the next step after if you haven't yet created that next step for them. That next step might likely exist already. And you've provided value, they're going to listen to you and take that next step with you.
Yeah. And I've seen guys like Tim Ferriss do things where in his blog post, he'll put in parentheses affiliate link and then outside of it, the normal link or, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
We've done stuff like that. And I've always found that people usually just click the affiliate link. I, you know, if it's the same to them, it doesn't really seem to make a difference.
Yeah. And Pat, talk really quickly about your, because you actually have an affiliate marketing course that talks probably way more strategies than this. Give us just like a quick brief on that because we just linked that inside the chat for everyone.
Oh, baller. Thank you so much. So this course is called 1-2-3 Affiliate Marketing. Step one, find your focus products. Step two, let's use passive income strategies similar to the resource page, something that you could set up once and then sort of just let be, sort of like a seed that you plant. And then step three, a whole bunch of lessons about active promotional strategies using things like webinars and actually training sessions to showcase how you might use a product in exchange for, you know, introducing this product to people and hopefully getting an affiliate commission. Demonstration videos and all that kind of stuff is all in there as well. And really what people love most about the course is what's called our affiliate marketing recipe book. What this means is if, let's say, for example, you're promoting a book. Well, there's a whole recipe book of ways to promote books, essentially, and they're ranked based on difficulty, based on effectiveness, based on how evergreen they could potentially be, both active and promotional and passive strategies. So you can just go in there and be like, okay, I haven't done a promotion for a book in a while, or hey, I have this person that I want to help push out their book for. Let me see, I kind of want to do that one. And they pick it and it opens up a page literally like a cookbook. Mm-hmm. Here's what you need. Here are the ingredients that you need. And then here are the steps to put it together. And then boom, you'll have your affiliate sort of campaign essentially created. One of my favorite recipes is called the Montel Jordan strategy. And that's the, this is how we do it, right? This is how we do it. And it's literally just showing people for free how to do a thing. Like I will do one about how to do keyword research. And that will then include the juxtaposition between the free way to do it so that people get value. They're like, hey, thanks. I don't need to spend money, but I can do this. But then the headache free way, which is like, okay, I might as well pay for this if it's going to save me hours of time. And when you just show people how you do it, right, then people are more likely to understand what they're getting into before they hit that buy button.
Demonstrations, man. That's it's all about demoing, right? Like that's mm-hmm. want to see that and see that it's actually achievable for them as well. So yeah, it's hustleandflowchart.com/Pat.
Yeah, that's our affiliate link. Very meta, you know, giving an affiliate link to a course about affiliate marketing on a live stream about affiliate marketing.
Good job, man. Well, yeah. So, I mean, Pat, it's been you've been gracious with your time, man, and I appreciate you. And I know a lot of people are saying gold is pure gold. So I think this is great, man. And I think we're good, man. Any parting words or anything you would suggest that for people maybe who just haven't tried affiliate marketing and they've just been on the fence?
Yeah, find one product. Like, just start with one that you think your audience would most benefit from. Perhaps it is something that you already use. I would, in fact, even reach out to the company to see if they have an affiliate program, even if it's not public, because a lot of times these affiliate programs are invite only, or they wait for people to come and see who they can work with, and just focus on that one and become the master of that product and, you know, use it yourself, show that proof, the proof that you're using it, the proof that other people are benefiting from it as well. And just really focus on that and see what happens. I mean, the truth is nothing's going to happen if you don't, move, if you don't change anything. It's hard though. Getting started is hard, right? Like it's physics. An object at rest tends to stay at rest. And hopefully streams like this and the amazing people who are out there giving during this time, like you guys, are giving you that force needed to at least get rolling. Because once you get rolling, you know, an object in motion tends to stay in motion. So you just need to get started, pull the trigger, and, you know, what have you got to lose?
That's love right. It. Not much at all. All right, Pat. I appreciate you, man. And we'll chat later.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for hanging out.
Yo. That was quite the episode.
Yeah.
It was actually, I don't know if we call that a specific episode at the time of recording. No. It was actually more of a live stream.
Yep.
But holy moly, Pat. Yeah,
that was part of what was that? We did 3 hours straight of live streaming all about affiliate marketing. And Pat Flynn came on and he brang it. And we're like, we need to make sure more people hear this than just the people who heard it on the live stream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pat came prepared. He came just ready to answer a ton of questions. That's what this is definitely a different type of podcast, obviously. Yeah. As we probably stated in the intro, we haven't recorded the intro yet in full transparency. So, whatever. We just figured in this, I guess, second half of this episode that we would talk about what's working in our business really well and how it relates to a lot of what you just listened from Pat. Because as we talked about with Pat, like we started roughly around the same time-ish within, you know, a year or two. We have had very similar business models, mainly you more than me for most of the time, just because you've always been in the blogging. But we started in the same vein.
Right.
And different niches online in those blogs and content, and then growing an email list and like affiliate marketing.
Quite honestly, back in, you know, 2008, 2009-ish, Pat was one of the people who I was seeing what he was doing, and I was sort of kind of modeling it.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't, you know, the Pat Flynn that we all know today then. He was kind of getting started out just like we were, but I really, really liked what he was doing back then. I was sort of watching his blog, watching his podcast, going, I really like what he's doing. I want to kind of model a similar business. And so I wasn't like, ooh, Pat's doing that, I'm going to do this. Pat's doing that, I'm going to do this. But he was one that I was kind of keeping an eye on from sort of the beginning of his career, following along with it and kind of modeling elements of his business that I liked. And now here we are, fast forward 11, 12 years later, and it kind of came full circle, and we're really focused on a lot of the same things again. We're focused on creating a lot of really, really great content. Generating a lot of revenue off our own affiliate streams. And we've also got our membership, right? But it's a lot of what I was trying to do 12 years ago. We've sort of almost kind of fulfilled that vision now after like 12 years of trial and error and doing stupid shit that wasn't the right stuff. And now we're kind of back around to it.
We had a fun time along the process.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's interesting that it's kind of we've created this machine now that lives up to where we really started this thing.
Yeah.
And we even got into podcasting way back in the day because of Pat.
Yeah.
He was one of the first influences. And obviously, we didn't really, this show did not exist back then, of course. Mm-hmm. But, it got us started in this whole medium. And yeah, it's interesting. And now I feel like there's even bigger thing, like the way that Pat actually talked about evolving in affiliate marketing, and that he's like getting equity in companies now and things like that. So
we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Part of the evolution is now it's like, wait, okay, so you can do affiliate marketing, all this other cool stuff, but it's like, then you can build in this like longer term generational wealth stuff through the same efforts. But it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like it's just like graduating to another level.
Yeah, and for sure.
Let's talk about that.
In a second. Before we do, let's sort of further extrapolate on some of the affiliate marketing tactics that maybe Pat talked about, but also some of the stuff that is working well in our business. Because one of the things that Pat talked about quite a bit was selling affiliate products through creating tutorials around that affiliate product. Yeah, basically demonstrate how to use the product as a means to sell the product. Another thing that Pat really talked quite a bit about was creating content that shows you the free way versus the what do you call it? The headache freeway.
Freeway, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the freeway is like, hey, here's a piece of content that shows how you could do this all yourself without any using any extra automation, any extra tools. But then by the time you get to the end of the content, it's like, so that's how you do that. Do you want to shortcut it? Do you want to do it in a third of the time? Well, here's the headache freeway. Here's the tool to use that. And I feel like those two philosophies of creating educational tutorials that show off how to use the tools and also creating tutorials on how to do sort of the easy way, the free way versus the easy way, right? Those are two philosophies that I think we've done a good job in our business really adopting. And those are probably the two methods that have generated the most sales for us is the sort of create tutorial content, teach people how to do stuff. And then through teaching, people are going to either buy the tools necessary to do the steps you just taught, or they're going to buy tools to sort of shortcut the processes of the things you just taught.
And we call that the key step tutorial.
The KST. Like,
yeah. There's a whole blog post we wrote about that. And Sue, if you're listening, I know you are, link that in the show notes. I think that'd be cool. You know, it's one of our posts on Evergreen Profits. And that's a key strategy to our affiliate marketing is using the KST.
Yep.
And it, both in written and also in video form. It could be in live stream form, webinar form. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But that's in, and Pat described it basically the same kind of concept as the freeway or the headache freeway.
Yep.
Freeway? Is that really it?
I think it was the freeway and the headache freeway.
No, it's like the hard way, but he had a better way of putting it. Jesus. Yeah, this is the problem because we recorded this a little after we recorded with Pat.
Yeah. I mean, whoever is listening to this, they just heard Pat say it. We didn't just hear Pat say it. We heard Pat say it like a week or two ago.
Yeah. So you know what we're talking about. But basically, Pat has his own terminology. Essentially, the outcome's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So that sort of strategy still to this day is probably like our number one tactic for affiliate marketing is just educate. Mm-hmm. And that education could have, you know, a tool that needs to be purchased as one of the steps, or that education can be like, here's how to do it the hard way. But at the end of that education, you're saying, and here's how to do it the easy way, but it might be more premium and you earn a commission on that premium option. Yep. That is probably, not even probably, that is hands down the way we generate most of our affiliate commissions.
That's the content creation aspect of it. That's the way we demonstrate.
Yeah.
And that's, that was a key. I mean, really, I actually, after watching Pat, because he was doing a bunch of live streams, daily live streams. Not sure if he still is by the time this goes live. But every day, I think weekday at 8 a.m., he was getting live. And I watched one of them recently. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. Just the way that he was interacting live with people and, keeping engagement high. But at the part of it, at the ending part of it, he actually did a demonstration of him doing a video for YouTube. Mm. And it wasn't a demonstration video straight up, but it was really interesting to see how he builds his hooks and builds the way that, you know, his videos in general, which, there's so many of these cool demonstration videos you can watch of Pat's. Like there's one with Ecamm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched that video. I watched that video. And right after watching that video, I went and bought this Elgato Stream Deck, this little keypad that I've got on my desk now for while we're recording.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. And I saw him using that in his live stream too. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's demonstrations are key. I mean, we're going to YouTube a lot more now. So like what's working for us and what we're doing a lot more of those style videos on YouTube because like you and I, Matt, have talked about it, like demonstrations of powerful, powerful way of selling visually, especially.
Yeah.
And if you can show, obviously, if you have a physical product like that Stream Deck, I'm looking at that now, it's got beautiful buttons on there that you can program full color and it's synced up to a program on your computer that you don't have to do anything other than like to hit recording and stop. You don't have to go reach for and click around now. Yeah. You can just hit this one button that's clearly marked and syncs up with every app on your computer and even types phrases for you and stuff like, and demonstration is powerful to sell that. Like you could just like sell that on the merits of, productivity and laziness or whatever, and just systems people that like saving time. And like, that's, you could sell that easily with demonstration, but with like a info product or a software tool, some people kind of forget in ways of how to demonstrate their own products, either as an affiliate or their own products.
And yeah, YouTube is sort of becoming a bigger and bigger play in our business. I can't really say that we've gotten like super successful and effective at YouTube. We're still sort of throwing things against the wall, hoping some of them are going to stick. But
we're getting good SEO.
We're getting better at it. We're getting closer.
Yeah, and we're getting better. I mean, it's an evolution. It's throwing mud at a wall right now.
Yeah, one of the other things that that's been really, really effective for us lately, and we sort of wrote it off for a long time until we had Molly Mahoney on the show, was our Facebook group, right? We had this Facebook group. Joe and I even got to the point where we just kind of stopped even checking in on the group because we kind of went, eh, there's people in there, and when questions pop, somebody else in the group is going to go just answer the question. And so we just kind of stopped checking into it and kind of ignored it for a while, and Molly's like, no, these Facebook groups are so powerful, get on it. And so we started putting focus back into our Facebook group. Now our Facebook group's like crazy active. Whenever we post something, we get tons of, you know, likes and engagement on it, but we get freaking traffic from it. Like, we get clicks when we share links inside of our Facebook group, and it's been really freaking effective. And we're really, really bullish on Facebook groups right now. Now, that's not to say Facebook groups are always going to work, because the way Facebook tends to seem to work is like, as soon as people start to figure out that this thing is effective, they make it, they drop the engagement or make you pay to get that same engagement or whatever. So we'll see. But right now, as of this recording in May of 2020, Facebook groups are crazy effective.
Yeah, I would say it's probably good for a little while, since like, I think Facebook just released a new UI or, you know, whole layout and intention for their stuff, and groups was like a big piece of it. So now would be the time, because it's really crazy, and we're actively trying to grow our group with quality people, relevant people. And that's why, like, you hear us on the show, like, starting to shout out flowchartgroup.com. I mean, like, if you're not a member actually yet, you listening, like, go head over there, because it's literally, it's just a community of folks who are listening to this podcast primarily, but also people who are, who've bought something from us or an affiliate product of ours, someone that we promote that came back to see us, you know, and what we're doing. It's a group where we're chatting with our, you know, our guests and all that stuff in there too. Flowchartgroup.com, like, go join that. It's totally free.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we did recently too is that when you log into there, I mean, depending on when you log in, it may not be there anymore, but we actually put an announcement in there about a free traffic book, a book that we really stand behind, The Retargeting Recipes by Justin Brook. We mentioned that book in our Facebook group and we pinned it to the top, and we're making like a sale a day off of that free plus shipping book, and we get a pretty decent affiliate commission when people buy that book. But it's making like a sale a day, and all we did was build this community and make an announcement about it and pin it to the top, and it's generating sales. I mean, we're probably going to test some other offers and switch that one out, so by the time you're hearing this, that may not be there anymore. But that's been another thing that's been working really, really well, is literally just, hey, here's a cool product that we use in our own business, share it to the Facebook group, and we'll see sales directly from that Facebook group.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty common question I've been getting a lot lately from people in the group, is basically, how do I grow a community? And you know, obviously there's lots of ways to do that, get an email list, a lot of people just get stuck at like, where do they go, where do I grow a community? And Facebook seems like a very low barrier, no tech way in the door that actually can feed your email list as well.
Yeah, that's a good, actually, that's a good point. We should mention, we should talk about that for a second too.
Yeah. So, you know, right when someone, you can require people to answer a handful of questions, and one of those questions can be, hey, what's your email address? We're going to send you some cool stuff. And essentially now you're adding them to your email list, and there's tools to connect those together that automate things for you. So the, you know, you could either do the copy and paste way or whatever, but either way, they are opting into your list, and you can do a confirmation email and all that stuff if you want to, whatever. But yeah, like, it's a great way to, but the beautiful thing is, like, you get them in the group, it's almost more valuable, it seems like, in a little, can't totally say, definitively say this, but like, they're engaging back and forth with you now more than email ever could be. And so you would think, one would think that you're probably top of mind a little bit more, so they're probably going to buy more from you or listen to something you're putting out there into the world, like a video, and engage further.
Well, frequency is a huge factor in marketing as well, right? So like, if somebody is seeing an email from you every day, They get in their car, they turn on their car, and a podcast episode is playing with your voice on it. And then they're scrolling through their phone later in the day, and they're seeing like cool content from you from because you posted it in your Facebook group pop up in their news feed. Like, how top of mind are you that mm-hmm. we're showing up in all of these different locations, right? So the fact that, you know, the goal isn't to like get in, just get an email subscriber or just get a Facebook group member or just get a podcast listener. The goal is like, first of all, any one of those is good, but second of all, get them interacting with us in multiple locations, because the more locations yeah. you're seeing us, the more frequency there is, the more likely you are to buy something from us down the road.
Totally. That's what a big piece of our business, like with affiliate stuff that's working well, are like two sides. And I've said this on one of the podcasts somewhere, but it's like we have this community side we're talking about, which sometimes it takes a little longer to grow. But those are the people that are typically going to buy a lot more times than one time. They're going to be just a better community member too, mm-hmm. like a fan of the brand, us, the products we put out, whatever it might be. And then there's the other side of the business that's a little bit quicker to revenue for us, mm-hmm. which are like paid ads on like Facebook and Google and other places that go to a piece of content like a KST mm-hmm. that we just mentioned.
Yep.
So like this is us like kind of breaking down really our business model right here behind the podcast is
yeah.
that's the paid side, which is nice. So there's a balance. You have that community side on one side. It's a little slower to build. It could be a little bit more expensive up front because you're not, you know, basically covering your costs as immediately, unless you have a product that does, and that's cool. You mm-hmm. can do that. And we do to an extent, you know, with the EGP letter and the membership, it's not obviously expensive at all. So there's not a lot of profits there. That's why we have things like sponsorships and other things to offset costs.
Yep.
But then on the other side, back to the paid side, it's a little quicker to revenue with affiliate stuff, mm-hmm. which will pay us like either a good one-time fee, 50%, recurring,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we can market that once and then get a sale all the time, depending on however long they stay on as a subscription. And then now we're starting to be introduced with equity options. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, and paired up with, you know, a rev share split. Yeah. So it's interesting how what's working is now developing into something like that, which is like even a longer term thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's a topic that comes up every once in a while when we're talking to like other more established marketers that have their own softwares out in the market or their own like main sort of core flagship products so you just do affiliate marketing. Is that like your only thing? Is that like your main goal is to grow the affiliate marketing thing? Well, this is actually how it's evolving for us now. Like, no, we never set out really to just be affiliate marketers. We always had this bigger game plan in mind, and it's kind of funny to see it come full circle, but our bigger game plan that we set out for back in 20, I don't know, we had these discussions in
20, it was to buy the Chargers.
Well, it was. That was a piece of it. But we always wanted to own equity in a bunch of companies, yeah. be advisors like on a percentage basis in companies. And part of our goal at the time was to own the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah,
I'm going to emphasize San Diego.
Not the stupid LA Chargers.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Stupid LA stupid Chargers.
Dean Spanos.
If you live in LA, we love you, but your Chargers suck.
Well, screw it's really you. Dean Spanos.
That's true. It's Spanos.
If someone knows Dean Spanos, tell him that we tell him
he tell sucks. Tell him that Matt and Joe think you suck.
And no. all the and so does everyone else in San Diego. Yeah. All right, moving on.
But no, the big goal is to own equity in a bunch of companies, and some of them will exit and we'll get good payday. Some of them will sort of pay pay out shares to the members and we'll get money from that. Some of them will be, you know, rev share where we actually get shares of the revenue as it yeah. as it grows. Things dude, like so that.
Cool.
But now apparently this affiliate marketing stuff is evolving into that. It's kind of gotten to this point where some of the companies that we are promoting as affiliates, they're like, you guys are such good evangelists yeah. for our products that we want you to continue to evangelize it as hard as you are. So we're willing to give you equity. And we're actually working with some companies to like structure systems to build this to help other affiliates sort of earn equity in businesses as well, which we can't totally go into a lot of details around that yeah. yet, but we are working on some really cool we're not working on it ourselves. I want to clarify that we're not sort of getting distracted and going and building new software companies or anything. We are working with other people who are building technology to help merge the worlds of affiliate marketing and sort of equity investing.
Point here being, yeah, totally. And the point being is like we're being introduced by this software owners to get the ability to get equity in their company. And that was not even a thing on our radar before. No. But it was a piece of, you know, we saw it as we would have to go, you know, one-to-one communication and like, which we've done this before and we've also acquired other businesses, but like earn in based on like our marketing performance, let's say. Like, hey, we're going to do Facebook and Google ads and retargeting for your offer. And depending on the sales that we bring in, we're making 50% of the profits.
Yeah, it's more like a rev share
deal. Yeah, and then you can earn into a company and, you know, you can earn some rev share and maybe there's like an equity earn in element to that deal structure as well. So it's like, what's cool now is that's actually being like more of these companies are seeing that it's a powerful thing to give affiliates the ability to basically do both, earn a little bit of rev share, but also earn a bigger, longer term stake in that software company or whatever company out there. So you're getting a long term promoter now. You know, instead of a transactional affiliate, you're having, like Pat just said, he said he's an advisor and stakeholder in ConvertKit. So it obviously he's going to be a spokesperson, an evangelist, a promoter of their brand, of his brand, for the long time, you know, for however long he's going to be a partner with them.
Yeah.
So like, whereas an affiliate like could be gone the next day after the promo, like, oh, that didn't work.
Well, yeah, look, if you're a product creator
campaign,
if you're a product creator, and we were actually discussing this before we started to record this, is like, you know, what sort of objections would people have around some of these technologies? But look, if you're a product creator, and you're giving a affiliate commission to people promoting you, these people will go and promote you until something better comes along, or maybe a better commission comes along, assuming that the products are like sort of apples to apples. When something else comes along that's going to give them a better deal, they may sort of jump ship and go over to this other thing.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you're giving them commissions on all of their sales, so they're incentivized for making sales right now, but they're also getting a piece of equity in that business, they're never jumping ship on you because they're an equity holder of this business. It's like a piece of their livelihood now to make sure that your business as a whole, not just their affiliate commissions, but your business as a whole grows, right? So they're not ever going to jump ship. And so we're starting to realize that more. And I think other businesses and software creators and things like that are seeing that as well. They're going, these guys do a really good job for me as affiliates. How do I make sure they never stop being affiliates? Well, how do you do that? You give us the commissions that we're getting, but you also incentivize us with a whole piece of the pie. Right. And that's where this affiliate marketing thing is sort of evolving for us. But we're also working with some developers to create some technology to help that concept for other business owners as well.
Yeah, and affiliates to join that as well. Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on how that develops. But I think that's, I mean, really, that's what we're so excited about is, you know, us, we're talking about, I mean, at the beginning of this year, we talked about affiliate marketing in 2020. I don't know the episode number, but basically, if you go back and look for affiliate marketing, or, you know, released around January.
The episode was called Unapologetic Affiliate Marketers. So, Sue, if you're taking the notes on this, can you link that episode up?
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, that's that. If you go back to that episode, you can hear what we were really explaining our business model. And now I feel like it's just evolving based off of that concept even further into something that is, I mean, it's now creating a portfolio of companies, which is interesting. You know, it's like just doing the efforts that we already have. It's almost like a stock portfolio. You know, now there's a long-term portfolio of companies.
Yeah,
that we promote it's and cool. already believe in. I mean, so,
who would have thought that us just kind of going, hey, all I want to do is make good content and promote affiliate products, and that sounds like a simple life. Who would have thought that just kind of taking that philosophy and just like running with it as far as we could would turn into us owning equity in a bunch of companies? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And that's kind of where it's going.
Shoot. I mean, that's what Pat said too, right?
Yep.
I think he said that, you know, it's just be consistent. And like the consistency really wins off when there's a lot of fly by night people who are just in it for the quick buck or they just can't figure out the consistency for some reason. Maybe the scenario just didn't shape up right for them. But I think at the end of the day, really everyone has the same abilities out there. Like opportunities are abundant. So, I mean, shoot, if you don't have the money or the means, like barter, do some deals, get creative. It's not always like face value, you know, to get something off the ground. So I feel like it's all consistency. That's what's paid off for us, and staying focused on it.
For sure. I love this affiliate marketing game.
We're another thing on our list, Matt. We were going to talk about webinars. I don't know if we
we don't need to get too deep in that because
we pass until the next time we.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say we are doing more webinars now.
Yeah,
but as of recording this, we actually haven't done one. Our next from the date of this record, the day we're recording, we're doing our first webinar next week. So that'll probably be like a future therapy session that we'll follow up on. And also, you've probably noticed we've been doing less therapy sessions. Mm. We're probably going to start doing more things like this, where it's like sort of two-parter episodes where there's like maybe a shorter guest interview and then maybe like a therapy session kind of thing tacked on to it. Because there's been a lot of demand for people wanting to come on our podcast, and we want to interview a lot of great people as well. So, the therapy sessions have sort of gotten pushed down the priority list. So we'll probably do more things like this. So let us know what you think of this. This was the sort of two-parter with Pat Flynn for the first half hour and then Joe and I for the second half.
Cool. And I think we nailed it. I don't know if there's anything else, but
we'll follow up soon and talk about webinar stuff probably.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll talk more about the whole affiliate equity thing, combo thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I would just say if you are an affiliate and you think that or you'd be like, you're like, oh yeah, that sounds interesting, like keep it in mind. Maybe reach out to us or something. And same with like if you're a company, a software company.
If you're if you're a product creator, who
software specifically, like I think this could actually be really, you know,
yeah,
like,
well, recurring. Especially if you need a lot of help getting affiliates on board and you're willing to give up a little bit of equity to sort of rapidly grow your business with a ton of affiliates, you know, that's kind of who we're looking for. So SaaS founders who need that extra boost of growth and are willing to, you know, give up a small percentage in exchange.
We can give you some more details. Yeah. So you just reach out to us, info@evergreenprofits.com. Mm-hmm. Why is it info? Info's lame.
We got to change. Because we created it probably like 8 years ago or something.
It just sounds lame. It should be like, yo, at evergreenprofits.com. But don't email, just info@evergreenprofits. We'll change the other one later.
Yeah, we'll change it. But we'll make an announcement. We'll make a big grand. Huge. We'll put out a press release when we change it.
Huge. The world's going to need to know this.
Huge.
All right. Cool. Thanks for hanging out. And I appreciate you as always. Go to the flowchartgroup.com. If you're not a member yet.
Well, it's just flowchartgroup.com.
Yeah. flowchartgroup.com, correct?
Yep.
Go there. We will
get the notes
hi
on this episode.
Get the notes at hustleandflowchart.com/comp.
Yep. You'll text comp to 38470.
All right. There are all the ends of our call to actions. Actually, I think we have a couple more, so hang on.
Yeah. Let's go do those.
Do you want to learn the hard skills necessary to support your favorite shows? Well, cool. Our friends Gina, Haley, and Mel created something called Podcast Production School. Now, it's an online course designed to help you master the skills and strategies needed to launch, manage, and grow podcasts, including things like audio editing, show notes creation, and promotions. So download their free podcast production or their launch checklist today at podcastproductionschool.com/go/flowchart. Again, that's podcastproductionschool.com/go/flowchart.
Thanks so much for tuning into that episode. I hope you dug it. I know Joe and I dug it. I actually kicked Joe out of the room. He's not here right now because I wanted to tell you about a tool that I really, really dig. We use it in our business. We recommend it all the time. It's called Easy Webinar, and it's a tool that lets you do live webinars, automated webinars, hybrid webinars, and you know, pretty much any other kind of webinar if there are other kinds of webinars. But anyway, this tool is kind of like your all-in-one do-it-all tool for anything webinar related. It's Easy Webinar. It's put out by a dude named Casey Zeman. He's been on the podcast. If you haven't listened to that episode, it's a killer episode. He's a really smart dude, but his software is amazing. It does everything. It's, you know, the title tells you exactly what it does. It's an easy webinar platform. And we use this in our business to run automated webinars all the time. We don't do a lot of live webinars these days. We like to do the kind of automated webinars where somebody can register and then it, you know, they can either watch it like 15 minutes later or they can watch it the next day, but it's just kind of always running. And it's a system that helps us make autopilot sales off of our webinars. Super cool tool. If you haven't tried it yet, you know, it's an amazing tool. And Casey is actually hooking you up. He said for listeners of Hustle and Flowchart, I can't believe he's doing this, but he said for listeners of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast, he's giving 25% off of the membership to use Easy Webinar. It's already super, super inexpensive for what it does and all the cool features it has, but he's hooking you up with 25% off because you're a listener of Hustle and Flowchart. Go to easywebinar.com/hustle. That's where you can get that 25% off discount. That's easywebinar.com/hustle. It's an awesome tool. You're going to dig it. So just go grab it. Check it out. easywebinar.com/hustle. See ya. No, not see ya. You'll hear me in the next show. I don't know. I don't know how to close these things. Go get Easy Webinar. Talk to you later. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.